The guest we have here right now is Dan Riskin, our science expert. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
So, I want to get the time out of the way first. That's why I gave a time check, because it may be adjusted fairly shortly, and you'll have to explain to me why a faster spinning Earth might actually cause timekeepers, whoever they are and wherever they are, to subtract 1 second from the world's clocks.
Yeah, back in the day, life was simple. The Earth rotates once a day, and it goes around the sun once a year, and you're good, right? You just kind of work it like that. And then people built computers and stuff that had really accurate clocks. They were like, oh, we can break it down, and now we can like measure things in milliseconds, and we can know exactly what time things happen. And that's great, but then once you set up those clocks and you just let them run, and they are exactly precise to 24 hours, you find that the Earth is not actually moving around in a circle at a perfect rate. It actually changes how quickly it's spinning by very subtle amounts. And sometimes it goes a little faster and sometimes it goes a little slower. And overall, those sort of balance out. But every once in a while, you find yourself in the precarious position where the Earth is not synchronized with where it's supposed to be. And so when that happens, everybody who has a clock gets together and says, okay, let's all do a leap second together. And they add a second to their time. So this is a way of fixing the digital clock so that they match what the Earth is actually doing. And they've been doing this since the 70s. And since the 70s, they've done this 28 times. And every single time, they've had to add a second. But what they're saying now is that the Earth, for whatever reason, and it is a bit of a, like, they don't really understand why it does this. It has something to do with what's going on in the core. It's kind of complex. But it's spinning faster. And so now what they're going to have to do probably in a couple of years is do a negative leap second where they take a second off. They've never done that before. We have the technology. It is a giant pain, especially for computer networks. People like Facebook hate this very much because it really messes up their systems. But, you know, sorry, digital people, you live on a planet that rotates and it's not going to do what you want all the time. So they're going to have to deal. But this negative leap second is coming. And what's getting a lot of news right now is that researchers did the math and they've realized that it would have actually happened 3 years earlier if the poles weren't melting. Because the ice is melting from the poles and moving out into the ocean, the center of mass of the Earth is moving out towards the equator and away from the poles. And that's a little bit like a figure skater who's bringing her arms out instead of bringing them in. And as you know, with a figure skater, when she's spinning, if she sticks her arms out, she slows down. And the same thing is happening with the Earth. So this leap second would have been 3 years earlier if we didn't have global warming, which is just an interesting
piece. Now you're the science guy, and I don't want to take away from any of the concern you just raised, which should be very serious on our part about why things are happening the way they are. Don't we have this a bit bass-ackwards when we say that we're going to determine through the computers, the sophisticated computers, where the Earth is in terms of how it's rotating, as opposed to saying, no, the Earth is where it is, and our computers don't have to match up with that because the Earth is going to spin as the Earth spins.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but then you're going to end up with a scenario where things are, where midnight isn't really midnight anymore. So we'd like midnight to actually correlate with what's happening in the sky, and that is going to drift away. And I mean, a second doesn't sound like very much, and you know, 28 seconds over the course of 50 years doesn't sound like very much, but they like to keep it tight. They like to keep it precise, and so adjusting all those digital clocks is just this necessary evil, although there is a push in play to have it just canceled and to do what you're saying and just say, well, you know what, let's let the digital clocks be one time and let the Earth do its own thing, and who cares if they don't quite line up.
Yeah, and which one is real? Turning to the real taste of beer, figure it's only a matter of time on a morning when we're hearing about hot dog sparkling water that we should have AI being used to make beer taste better. How does that work?
Making beer taste better is way harder than rocket science because there are hundreds of compounds, and a compound might ruin the beer if the concentration is too high, but it actually improves the beer if you've got a lower concentration, only if these three other compounds are present. And you do that kind of thing for hundreds of compounds, and it's just like the most complex thing in the world. And so people have done it. You know, obviously we have beer masters and we have people that make beers, and you do it by trial and error and taste, and you find good beers that work. But AI offers a way to sort of really get in on this and see if you can tinker away and make things even better. So what they did is they took 250 Belgian beers. This is Belgian researchers. They took 250 different beers of 22 different styles, lagers, fruit beers, blondes, ales, all kinds of stuff. And they had professional panel taste them and score them. And on top of that, they also used online reviews for like 180,000 reviews of beer. There's this thing called Rate Beer where people put their reviews of different beers. And so now they've got all these different, these 250 different beers. They know their chemical compounds because they measured them, and they know how they're rated by people. They fed that into an artificial intelligence engine and said, can you predict what's going to make these beers better? And so the AI came up with ways to improve a certain beer. And then they made those changes to the beer and gave it to the panel, and the panel said, yeah, you improved the beer. So AI is coming up with understanding the code of what goes into a good beer. And this isn't just a beer thing. This is something that could improve all kinds of foods. And you think of healthy foods that people might not want to eat because it doesn't taste very good. These kinds of technologies could make them more palatable and improve health overall. So it's really exciting stuff.
You need to list these things that are the pros of AI to match all the stories that talk about how it can be dangerous in various different ways, which I'm sure it can, like everything else. We've talked about taste. Let's talk about smell for a minute. Studies apparently show, and you're the man to tell us about it, that human scent can actually detect infection.
Yeah, I'm a stinky man. I think that's why I'm the man to tell you about it. My wife will tell you. Yeah, I can tell when you stink. But
no, you're a strong man, but smell isn't everything.
There it is. That's exactly it. This is, dogs can smell certain diseases. They've trained rats in some places to smell tuberculosis on people's breath. And so using animals to detect illness from smell is a great use of animals. It's a great trick. Researchers are working on ways to get robots to do the same thing. But the question came up, like, could a person smell if someone was sick? So it's a really simple experiment. They took 20 donors, and each of those donors swabbed their armpit when they were healthy, and they also swabbed their own armpit when they were sick with a respiratory infection. And then those two swabs were used for this experiment. And so then all these 80 people each got to sniff the two samples. And for each time they said, okay, I want you to pick the one you think is from when they were sick and the one from when you think they were healthy. And the people had to pick. And the people pick the sick one correctly more often than you would expect with chance. You would expect that by chance, you would get it 50% right.
Right.
People get it 56% right. So it's barely anything, but it is significant. So they're making a big deal about this, but listen, I think you better go to a doctor, or you better use some other way to find out if you're sick other than having somebody smell your armpits and tell you.
I was going to say, they're going to, you know how they get people to participate in those clinical trials, and they'll be having people now who get paid to sniff other people's armpits. I don't know. I don't think we should go there at 5 to 7
in
the morning.
Yeah. Listen, you got to make a buck.
Let's talk about something more positive, which is a vaccine showing the potential to treat autoimmune diseases, which are such a conundrum for the medical profession and for the people, obviously, who suffer from those things like multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of diseases that are caused by the immune system attacking things it's not supposed to attack. Multiple sclerosis is when it attacks nerve cells, but also type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, allergies. And the big breakthrough here is there are parts of the body's metabolism where the liver is breaking stuff down. And when it's being broken down, the liver puts little flags on it and says, don't attack this because we're just breaking it down and we'll get rid of it in a second. And so researchers took those flags and put them on the myelin of nerve cells to see if they could stop the body from attacking it. And this was in an animal model, but this animal that had basically had multiple sclerosis, once they put this into the immune system, it stopped having multiple sclerosis. So there's hope that this is going to turn into something they could treat humans with. There's no vaccine in the works yet, but this is
exciting progress
in the right direction.
Fingers crossed. Dan Riskin, always interesting. And go and check your watch to make sure you haven't lost that second while we've been chatting. And we'll look forward to talking again.
Thanks, John.
News Talk 1010 science expert Dan Riskin. Really is always interesting to hear him analyze these things that we sort of know about and don't really think as much about, or certainly don't understand why things happen the way they do.